So I want to welcome you to Courageous Faith. That's what we're going to talk about, the key to miracles. It's going to be a 10-week series. And it's one of the longest I've ever done because there's so much on faith. There's so much on courageous faith and on how faith and miracles go together. I'm really excited about this. But I want to be in full disclosure. Don't you like that? When you get, you know, you want full disclosure. So it's called Courageous Faith, the Key to Miracles. And here's the disclaimer. I'm going to stretch your faith during this series. I'm going to challenge your faith. I'm going to poke it. I'm going to prod it. And many times during this series. And you're not, there's going to be times when you're not going to feel real comfortable. Because, well, we don't grow in comfort. Growth is often uncomfortable, but the result of growth is blessing and maturity and answered prayers and so many other wonderful things, which I really desire for you to get into those blessings. So in full disclaimer, in this Courageous Faith series, my goal is I'm going to challenge your faith, and I'm going to challenge my own faith. Now, the Bible says this, and it's on your outline. In Romans 1:17, it says, the gospel shows us how God makes people right with himself. And by the way, the word gospel, it's simply the old English word for good news. That's all it means, is good news. It says, the gospel shows us how God makes people right with himself, that it begins and ends with faith. With what? Okay. Circle that if you want to. I mean, it begins and ends with faith, and that's how we get right with God. The scripture says that those who are right with God will live by trusting in him. It says the just shall live by faith. Then look at the next verse in your outline. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, in my opinion, that's enough reason right there for us to spend 10 weeks on courageous faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Did you know that God wants to reward you for earnestly seeking him? If you believe that, the Bible says the just live by faith. Now, if the Bible says the way to live is by faith, the way we connect with God is by faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, what in the world is faith? And we're going to take 10 weeks to talk about that. Faith is, it's kind of like a diamond. It's multifaceted. One of the evidences and one of the elements of faith that I want to start off with is just an introduction. And I'll be doing part of that this week and part next week. But you might write on your outline, faith is seen from God's point of view. Give me the eyes to see. That song we just sang. Faith is seen from God's point of view. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Let me tell you first, and we're going to talk about this today. Let me tell you first what faith is not, okay? Faith is not desire. You can wish for something, you can hope for something, you can pray for something, you can sincerely desire and crave something. That doesn't mean it's faith. Faith is not desire. Desire may lead you to faith, but desire isn't faith. For instance, I remember as a kid, my desire as a teenager was to get my first car. You know, that might be stronger in some than others, but my desire was to get a car. That was a great big desire, a huge desire was to get a car. You know, and my first car, man, it was quite the car, a 63 Mercury Comet. You know, the only time I could spin the tires was when it snowed. But my desire was to get a car, and it wasn't faith. And desire is not, you know, faith and desire is not the same thing. Another thing faith isn't, it's not pretending that something is true that isn't true. You know, I could have a cube of butter sitting right here, Some of you are going, yum. Some of you are going, yuck. But I could have a cube of butter sitting right here, and I could say, that's chocolate. You know? And I have faith that it's chocolate. No, it doesn't matter how much faith I say I've got. It's not chocolate, it's butter. You know? And it's not going to be chocolate. It doesn't matter how much I say it's chocolate. Faith is not psyching yourself up and pretending something is that really isn't true. You're not conning yourself into believing something. Here's another thing. Faith is not a feeling. You know, now this is real important. In fact, you need to understand that feelings often can get in the way of faith. Because you feel a certain way and then you want to go that way whether you have the faith or not. And feelings are what we tend to rely on a lot of times instead of our faith. A lot of times faith says, I'm going to move ahead in spite of my feelings. I'm going to do the right thing in spite of my feelings. That's faith. Here's another thing. Faith is not bargaining with God. Chip didn't do that. We've got stuff going on technology-wise. All of a sudden that screen decides it's going to come up, down, and there's probably going to be a sign on it saying, that's enough, preacher, get down. Faith is not bargaining with God. It's not to say, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. God is not a gambler. It's like, you know, some people, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do this, and make a bribe, and they try to make a bargain with God. That's not faith. We're going to look at what faith is. We're looking at the fact that faith is a way of seeing. Faith is a way of looking at the world from God's point of view. It's having God's perspective. Let me show you a couple verses. Hebrews 11:1 says this. What is faith? Faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's not it might happen. It's not hopefully it'll happen, but what we hope for is going to happen. And that verse goes on. It says, and to be certain of the things we do not yet see. That's a key phrase. We do not see. When you're talking about faith, faith is being certain of things we do not see. It has to do with your vision. Again, that eye, give me the eyes to see that Connie and the worship team sang. The Bible says that faith is a way of seeing. Now, would you agree that there's always more than one way to look at something? How many agree to that? Yeah, there is. You know, if you're married, you really know that's true. And if you've got kids, you know that's true. There's always more than one way of looking at something. And sometimes there might be a dozen different ways of looking at something. What really matters is not how you see it, and not even how I see it, but how God sees it. And faith is learning to see things from God's point of view, having his vision. Ephesians 1:18 says, and it's a master verse on this, and it says there, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see. So that you can see. We've sang a song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, and that's what that's talking about. So that you can see the wonderful future that God has promised to those he called. Now, what in the world is he talking about? What that verse is talking about is that there is an unseen realm in the world that's more real than actually the seen realm. You know, for instance, you can see this right here, this lectern, this pulpit. I don't know what it's called. And you can see it. It's made out of wood. Looks like it's varnished. I don't think it's painted. Looks really nice. But you can't see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here with us. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can see this. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to live for eternity because he is God. This pulpit, it's going to break down and wear out. The Bible says that everything you see is temporary. Your body, your hair, for some of us more than others, and a lot of other things. You know, anything you see is temporary. It's not going to last. The things that last are actually unseen. And this is where the faith realm comes in. The Bible has many, many examples of what I call seeing with spiritual eyes, or seeing with the eyes of the heart, seeing from God's point of view. And God, he wants to open your eyes. I want us to do a couple things. And we're going to do one this week and one next week. But this week, I want us to look at what happens when we see with the eyes of fear. And next week, we're going to talk about what happens when we see with eyes of faith. So, just kind of an introduction. Because until you understand how important it is to see everything in life through eyes of faith, you're not going to be looking for that. Now's a good example. A good example of this, and it's in the Old Testament. It's in a book called Numbers. Kind of an interesting name for a book in the Bible. It's in the book in the Old Testament, and it's in Numbers, and it's chapter 13 and 14, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. It's a book that isn't ritual truth in it. And here's the background of Numbers 13 and 14. Moses. Everybody heard of Moses? Okay. I'm not as old as Moses. Okay. My pastor's as old as Moses. Moses has led the nation of Israel to freedom. He's got them free from Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and they've crossed the Red Sea. They've been traveling for about 2 years, not 40 years yet, just about 2 years, from Egypt, taking a very slow pace, because it certainly wouldn't take that long to walk from Egypt to Israel across the Sinai. But they've got a lot of people, and they're slow, and they go along, and they're coming to a place called Kadesh. At Kadesh, they're getting ready to cross the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. This is the land that has been promised to them for over 400 years, that they would have their own country. They would have freedom. They would be free from slavery. So when they get up to the edge of the water, before they go in, Moses says, okay, before we go in, I want to send in a spy team. And I'm going to pick out 12 guys to go in and spy out the land, and they're going to do kind of a reconnaissance. They're going to do the due diligence. They're going to check out what's going on and do a little fact-finding. So 12 spies are chosen by Moses, and they are sent in to go visit the land. And when they come back, they give a mixed report. Two of the spies, they say, it's incredible. Let's go take it. It's ready for our taking. God has given us truly the promised land. And they're excited. Those two spies were named Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 spies came back and said, yeah, it's a great place. And they have this whole list of problems on why they shouldn't go in. They're not seeing with eyes of faith. They're seeing with eyes of fear. Now, let me read I'll read you the names of those guys. I want you to raise your hand if you've heard of any of these guys. Shaphat. No? No one? Oh, a couple? Okay. Egal? Palti? Gadio? Hosea? Gadi? Amamil? Sether? Nabi, Ghul, Shamua, not the whale. That doesn't count if you've heard of Shamu. And then Caleb and Joshua. Isn't it interesting? Here's the point. Nobody remembers the negative guys. You know, nobody remembers the critics who say it can't be done. The only people who get remembered are the guys who said, let's go do it in God's name. In fact, one of those, one of those Joshua, we have a little Joshua that comes to our church. Chip named his son Joshua. So they're the ones who said, let's go do it in God's name. They saw with eyes of faith, and others saw with eyes of fear. Now, because they failed to see with eyes of faith, that entire generation of Israelites missed God's purpose for their life and God's will. God said, okay, you failed the test. You can wander around the wilderness for the next 40 years until you all die. I don't want that to happen in your life. I don't want you to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and then die. Simply because you didn't learn to see with eyes of faith. This is why Courageous Faith, Key to Miracles series, is such an important series, because I want you in the promised land and I want you to get in it now. Now, what happens when we see with eyes of fear? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And then next week, we're going to look at seeing with eyes of faith. So let's go over these. And the first five things that happen when we see with eyes of fear, and they're all here in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. The number one is, you can write this down first, we exaggerate our difficulties. Now, here is an amazing thing. God has just delivered them from Egypt. Excuse me, the most powerful nation in the world, and yet now they're worried about some local tribes. You know, they've just defeated Pharaoh, and yet now they're worried about somebody else, and how quickly we forget. You know, when you look at your problems with eyes of fear, guess what? They get bigger. You know, the more you look at your problem, the more exaggerated it gets. Somebody criticizes you, and the more you think about it, pretty soon you think the whole world is criticizing you. And it just grows by proportion. Numbers 13 and verses 27, 28. Here was the negative report. All those guys that I mentioned that we don't know, they said, it's a magnificent land, said the negative spies, but it's a magnificent land, but the people, yes, the but, you got to watch out for that but, right? It's a magnificent land, but the people living there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and large. What's more, we saw Anakim giants there. Now, the Anakim were of the tribe of Skywalker, and the force was strong with them. Not really. That's another story. Got confused. Yes. The next verse, Numbers 13, 31 through 32, says the other spies said, they'd crush us. So the majority report of the spies was negative. Now, I think there's something here that needs pointing out. The majority report is almost always negative. Anybody who's going to get something done in this world is going to have to go against the majority report, because the majority of people are going to be looking with eyes of fears and not eyes of faith. And so they said, we see these people and they crush us. That word there actually in Hebrew is akai, which means to eat up. It means to devour. They said they'd eat us alive. They're like cannibals. They're bullies. They're tyrants. They're NFL linebackers. Must be that other version. You know, they're going to take us on and we'll be crushed. Only two of the spies have faith, Joshua and Caleb, and yet the people always trust the minority, right? No. They always trust the majority report, because there are always more worriers and there's always more naysayers and there's always more critics and more fearful and fretful negative people. Here's the problem. Negative attitudes are contagious. You know, when they walked up there to the edge, and they're walking and they're getting ready to go in the promised land, everybody was excited, because for 400 years they've been hearing about this, and everybody, and then 10 come back with this negative attitude, we can't do it. Everybody changed their mind and they began to get infected with that negative attitude. Now, here's what's ironic. They said, one of the things they said, this place is filled with giants. And we can't take them on. They're too big for us. They're too powerful. Well, ironically, 38 years later, when the next generation did get to go into the promised land, you know what the enemy said? They said, we have lived in panic for 40 years because we heard about the 10 plagues of Egypt. We heard about what your God had done against the most powerful leader in the world, Pharaoh, and we were scared to death and we were ready to surrender. You needlessly walked around in the wilderness for 40 years because we were scared to death of you. We exaggerate our difficulties. Here's the second thing we do when we see it through eyes of fear. We underestimate our own abilities. We not only exaggerate the problem, but underestimate our own abilities. Numbers 33:13 says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Now, you talk about low esteem. You know, they're saying we're insects. You know, we're just a bunch of bugs compared to those guys. They're going to eat us for lunch. We can't do that. Notice they say, we saw ourselves like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And that's their own self-image. And it says, and we look the same to them. How did they know how they looked to the enemy? Well, obviously, they didn't. They have been slaves for 400 years. They have been freed for a few, but they're still mentally enslaved. And the condition is they still see themselves as helpless. And they still see themselves enslaved. They're enslaved, not by Pharaoh now, because they're out of that. Now they're enslaved by an idea, by an image, by a self-concept. Now, I want to stop here for just a minute. Because many years ago, people might have said things about you and to you and behind your back that you overheard that were not true. But you believed them. They're not even in your life. A lot of those people aren't even in your life anymore. Some of them may have passed on and you're still believing their lives. You're still enslaved to their image of you. You had somebody, a parent or a partner or a friend or a brother or sister who said, you're uncoordinated. And so you think you're uncoordinated. You know, or you're never going to amount to much. Somebody told you that. And so you think you're never going to amount to much. Somebody might have told you you're not good at speaking or on and on. They told you all those things. Listen, if you're still holding on to that, what somebody else said, you're not in Egypt anymore. Okay? That's a self-imposed prison. It's funny that it said some of the spies saw these guys. They were tall, and they said, these guys are giant. You know, the interesting thing, if you keep reading Scripture later on, it talks about when they went in, and Caleb, remember Joshua and Caleb? He was one of the two with the positive support. Caleb says, well, God has promised me the land and the hills where the Anakim live, where the giants live. And he said, and he had courageous faith. And he took that land, and that was land. You know how old Caleb was? 85 years old. You know, I'd like to know a guy like that. He had courageous faith. It's funny that, you know, the third thing that happens when you see with the eyes of fear is we get discouraged. First, we overestimate the problem. Second, underestimate our own ability. You know, we're like insects. We're like grasshoppers. And third, we get discouraged. Numbers 14:1 says this. Then all the people began weeping aloud, and they carried on all night. They had a giant party. A pity party. You know? Poor us. And they're now crying and weeping because they don't get to go into the promised land. Well, what's keeping them out? It's their fear. They're not living by faith. And when we don't live by faith, we can get discouraged. And then number four, we move from discouragement to griping. We start to gripe all about all of our lives. You know, and everything that's going to go wrong in our lives. Numbers 14:2. After the all-night pity party, it says, then all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. We wish we had died in Egypt, they wailed, or even here in the wilderness. So first, they mourn, and now they murmur, and first they cry, and now they can't complain. It's discontent. By the way, let me just say this to you. Highly critical people are always highly insecure people. You know, they're dominated by fear. When you find somebody who is critical of other people, it's because they're incredibly insecure. So we underestimate our abilities. We get discouraged. We gripe about our lives. And then we eventually give up and blame God. Numbers 14:3. They said, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to be killed with swords? we'd be better off going back to Egypt. You know what they're really saying here? They're saying, we know better than you, God. We know better. They're blaming God for not letting them go into the promised land. God isn't holding them back. It's their fear that's holding them back. They're second guessing. Now all of a sudden they're remembering the good old days of Egypt. Good old days, right? You know, what's the good old days? You know, 400 years of slavery? Why would anybody want to go back to Egypt? It was slavery, but what they were thinking is it was safety. It was safe slavery. I think a lot of people today get stuck in safe slavery, and they're enslaved by a relationship, or they're enslaved by a fear, or they're enslaved by a habit, or they're enslaved by a compulsion, or they're enslaved by a thought that I have to do a certain thing. And to let go of that, they really don't like it, but at least it's predictable. You know, it's comfortable. I know, they're saying, I know what's in Egypt. There's no real freedom without taking risks. Safety and freedom are on opposite ends of the continuum. You're either moving towards safety and slavery, or you're moving towards taking risks and freedom. God made you to be a risk taker. God made you to live by faith. Don't die in the desert. Now let me contrast that. And that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to contrast that. And you won't want to miss it. It's flip the page. You see all those blanks. That'll make you want to come back to church just so you can fill in the blanks. Unless you sneak into my office and sabotage my computer. But next week we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what living life through eyes of faith, through God's faith, what that means and how that looks.